ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This morning, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to the book of Jude. We're continuing our in-depth study of the book of Jude this morning, and we're going to finish up our study in Jude. And we've seen over the last several weeks the warning that the Holy Spirit has given to us regarding apostates, these false teachers that have come into the church. And it's really important to know who our enemy is, and Jude's showing us that, but also it's important for us to understand how to stand in these last days so we don't stumble. And that's how Jude really is concluding this letter. You don't have to stumble. Warren Wiersbe gives us this interesting insight into the concluding remarks of Jude. This is what he wrote. I read somewhere that the Great Wall of China was penetrated at least 3 times by the enemy, and each time the guards were bribed. A strong defense depends on strong people, and this applies to spiritual battles as well as military contests. If the church is to oppose and defeat the false teachers, then all of us in the church must be strong and able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There is always the danger of stumbling, and a stumble is the first step toward a fall. And I found it really interesting that the guards were bribed so the enemy could penetrate this great wall of China. Those walls were tough. I mean, hard to get through, right? But you bribe the guards, and it's easy to get in. You think, well, okay, Pastor Joe, how does that's interesting, but how does it apply to us? No one tries to bribe us to follow apostates. Well, they actually do. They bribe us by telling us that doing this, your church will grow bigger. They bribe us with bigger positions. They bribe us with money. They bribe us with pride that we know something that others don't know. There's all kinds of ways to bribe us, entice us, these wiles of the devil, and then we let our guard down and the enemy is able to get into our lives. The other problem is a lot of Christians are asleep and they're not aware of what's going on. Paul talked about it in Romans 13, verses 11 through 14. He says, "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night's far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let's put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." We need to know what day it is. We need to know the times we're living in. And we need to get rid of all the fleshly stuff and put on the Lord Jesus Christ every day. And I think a lot of the church is sleeping, or they just don't care anymore. And we allow all kinds of immoral activities into the church. We disregard what the scriptures say. I'll give you some examples. We see within the church this absence of conviction of sin, a lack of the fear of God, little sense of outrage over the godliness of society, materialism, greed, a lack of financial integrity, no sense of outrage over the church's lack of credibility in the world, little or no concern about people going to hell. And we can go on, but all this indifference to the teaching of the Bible or that the Bible is infallible. You know, as we've seen, these apostates, these false teachers, Jude says, have crept into the church. They got into the church. They were there in Jude's day, and they're here today. And with the return of the Lord getting closer and closer, we have to, again, put off those works of darkness and put on the light of God and shine for Jesus. And think about it. You know, I told you before, when we had our dog Petra, she was a golden retriever. She was red. And at night, she blended in with the carpeting. Okay? You couldn't see her. And, you know, I got my Medicare card, so thank you very much. I've made that golden age. And, you know, I have to get up sometimes during the night. And she would lay right in front of the doorway to the bathroom. And because there's no light on, because I didn't want to wake my wife up, I would trip, of course, waking up my wife because she hears me crashing into the wall or whatever. And that's what it is. You know, we If we have the light of God's Word, allowing the Holy Spirit to give us discernment, we could see what's happening. We can know right from wrong. And that's what Jude is warning us about, these dangers, to turn on the light so you can see where you're going. And thus, you don't have to stumble. And I've broken these verses down this morning into the following main points, and they're in your bulletin. Remember the Word in Jude 1, verses 17 through 18. Look at their fruit, Jude 1, 19. Build yourself up in Jude 1, 20. Look at our fruit in Jude 1, verses 21 through 23, and He will keep us from stumbling in Jude 1, verses 24 through 25. So with that as our introduction, let's pick up in verse 17 here in Jude, and let's see what the Lord has for us this morning as we study His Word and we look at this topic, you don't have to stumble. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. So Jude is speaking to us. He says, but you, and what are we to do? And Jude says, you need to remember. And the Greek word is a command for us to remember the truths of God. Don't let these apostates come in and cause you to forget what God has already said. Listen to the apostles. Listen to what the Word of God is telling us. And don't listen to these guys, these pretenders. And Jude is going to tell us in Jude 1:19 that they don't have the Spirit of God in them. What does that tell us? Okay, if they don't have the Spirit of God in them, they're not saved. Paul said in Romans 8:9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And Jude is saying these guys aren't saved. And Paul warned us of these last days. And again, many are unaware. In 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 through 5, he said, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, healthy doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables, or really fairy tales. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. They are looking for teachers who will tell them what they want to hear and not what God's Word has to say. I'll give you an example of new revelations from God. This is from author Neil Donald Walsh, his book, The New Revelations, Conversation with God. And this is what Amazon wrote about the book. This is a life-altering book. It contains new revelations. It provides the tools with which to pull ourselves out of despair, lifting the whole human race to a new level of experience, to a new understanding of life itself, a new expression of its grandest vision. Neil Donald Walsh believes that the human race has reached a time of choosing. Our options are being placed before us by the tide of events and by those who are creating them. We can either move forward, building together a new world of peace and harmony based on new beliefs about God and life, or move backwards, separately and continuously reconstructing the old world of conflict and discord. In The New Revelations, best-selling author Walsh offers possible and powerful answers to the questions facing the world, and urges us to open our hearts and minds to what may be one of the most important spiritual statements of our time. Doesn't it sound wonderful? I mean, think about that. Oh, peace, harmony, we're all going to get along. These new revelations are there to help us. But when you listen to what he's saying, he's promoting a one-world religion. Well, how can I be so sure? Because I read the first chapter. That's all I needed to read. Listen to what this book starts out. This is chapter one. God, please be here. We need help. I am here. We need help. I know. Right now, I understand. The world is on the brink of disaster, and I'm not talking about natural disaster. I'm talking about man-made calamity. I know, and you're right. I mean, humans have had disagreements before, and serious ones. But now our divisions and disagreements can lead not simply to wars, which are bad enough, but to the end of civilization as we know it. That's correct. You've assessed the situation correctly. You understand the severity of the problems. You simply do not understand the nature of the problem. You do not know what is causing it, so you keep trying to solve it at every level except the level at which it exists, which is the level of belief. The problem facing the world today is a spiritual problem. Your ideas about spirituality are killing you. You keep trying to solve the world's problems as if it were a political problem or an economic problem or even a military problem, and it's none of these. It's a spiritual problem, and that is the one problem human beings don't seem to know how to solve. Isn't it interesting? He does nail it. It is a spiritual battle. But when you see his answer to this, there's the danger. Donald Walsh says, "Then help us. I am. How? In many ways. Well, name one. This book. This book will help us? It can. What do we have to do? Read it. And then what? Heed it. That's what they all say. It's all in the book, they say. Read it and heed it. That's all you have to do. The problem is they all hold up a different book. God says, I know. Donald says, and every book says something else. I know. So now we should read and heed this book? It's not a question of what you should do. It's a question of what you may do if you choose to. It's an invitation, not a requirement. Why would I want to read this book when I've already been told by true believers that all the answers are in the other books, the books that they are telling me to heed? Because you have not heeded them. Yes, we have. We believe that we have. That's why you need help. You believe that you have, but you have not. You keep saying that your holy book, your cultures have many different ones, is what has given you the authority to treat each other the way you are treating each other, to do what you are doing. You are able to say that only because you have not really listened to the deeper message of these books. You have to have read them, but you are not really listening to them. It means that the basic message of all the sacred scripture is the same. So now he's putting all religious books the same as the Bible. What is different is how human beings have interpreted them. There is nothing wrong with having different interpretations. What may not benefit you, however, is separating yourselves over these differences, making each other wrong because of these differences, and killing each other as a result of these differences. You argue among yourselves about what the Quran says and about what its words mean. You argue among yourselves about what the Bible says and what its words mean. You argue among yourselves about what the Veda says, what the Bhagavata or Gita says, what the Lunyun says, I don't even know those, what the Pali Canon says, what the Toti Ching says, what the Talmud says, what the Hadith says, what the Book of Mormon says, and what about the Upshan and the I Ching, and he goes on. Donald says, okay, I get the point. No, actually you don't, and that's the point. The point is there are many holy writings and sacred scriptures, and you act as if there is only one. Oh, okay, now we're coming to it, okay? But isn't that how it should be? I mean, you have to stand up for something in life, and the word of God is what's right. Which God? Which God? Yes, which God? Adonai, Allah, Elohim, God, Hari, Jehovah, Krishna, Lord, Rama, Vishnu, Yahweh. Well, the gods whose words were brought to us clearly by the master and the prophets. Which master and which prophets? Which master and which prophets? Yes. Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Confucius, Jesus, and some of these others I can't even pronounce, Muhammad, Martin Luther, Joseph Smith. You're not equating all of those with each other, are you? Why not? Is one greater than the other? Certainly. Which one? The one in whom I believe. Exactly. Now you get the point. So what do you want me to do? Give up my beliefs? I don't want you to do anything. The question is, what do you want to do? And what I find, and I want to find a way to get past all of these mixed up beliefs that humans have. How do I do that? There's a way, which is transcend them. What does that mean? Transcending means to go beyond, to move past. It does not mean to completely reject or totally destroy. You do not have to destroy a thing in order to move past it. You would not want to destroy your old belief system in any event because there is too much of it that you will wish to retain. Transcending does not mean always being other than. It means always being larger than. Your new, larger belief system will no doubt retain some of the old, that part of the old belief system that you experience as still serving you. And so it will be a combination of the new and the old, not a rejection of the old from the top to bottom. Can you see the difference? I think so. Good. Then you could stop your resistance. Oh, isn't that interesting? Just wear them down until they reject the Bible being the only source of truth and all these other religions we can gain truth from. And yet we may have to edit some of this Bible up to make it acceptable for everyone, but that's okay. And that is the new one world religion. That's what is coming. I'll tell you, look at who the Pope is hanging out with. The religious leaders of the world. I'm not just talking about, you know, Muslims and the others. I'm talking about Protestant leaders within the church that call him father, call the Pope father. Wow. And I'm sorry, I came out of the Roman Catholic Church. I know what the Roman Catholic Church believes, that Jesus died for our sins, but you have to work your way into heaven. Jesus said, or the Bible says, that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, period. So again, getting us to move away from the scriptures, how dangerous is that? But it says conversations with God. Why can't he have a conversation with God? He can, but when God is speaking contrary to his word, he's not listening to God, he's listening to the devil. Doctrines of demons, Paul said to Timothy. And here's the thing, if we can't trust the entire Bible, we can only trust bits and pieces, who decides? Who decides what's right and wrong? You see, I'm going to pick all the good stuff. Sorry, that's just me. The thing on judgment and going to hell for eternity and all that, I'm editing out because I don't like that. Being nice to someone who's mean to me, forgiving them, forget about that. I'm editing that out. You see, I'm going to add all the things I don't like. But the love part, Jesus loves me, I'm going to keep that part. You can't do that. It's either all true or none of it's true. What did the psalmist say? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In a world that's so dark, in churches today, you know, again, here's a big thing for churches is make everything very dark in here. Dim the lights way, way, way down. I guess the spotlight's on the pastor. But then it's hard to read your Bible. But we're supposed to be light, not darkness. So as we spend time in God's word, it's like a bright light that guides us through a world that's in darkness. It tells us how to live. So important. I mean, if you reject God's word for your direction in life, you're like a blind person trying to find your way through. Good luck with that. We need to get back to the truths of God found in the word of God. Trust what God says. Because again, and I've used this example before, but you know, I'll just use my example as growing up as a kid. I always did not agree with my parents. I know you guys are shocked by that. I thought that they were like the biggest square dudes around. You could tell when I grew up, right? They just didn't get it. And then I grew up. I became older. I had children. And I thought, wow, they were really smart. They were trying to just protect me. And that's what God's word is about. God is not trying to ruin our fun. He's not trying to hurt us or dampen the good that we want to do in life. He wants to help us and protect us of the dangers that are out there. That's a loving father. And we need to get back to the word. We need to remember the word. Well, Jude moves on and the focus is look at their fruit. Look at these apostates, these false teachers, these pretenders in verse 19 here. Look at what they produce. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the spirit. You know, as Christians, I'm not saying we don't struggle in these areas. We do. We battle with the flesh. The flesh wars against the spirit against the flesh. The key is, for us, is we feel the conviction of God. When we do something wrong, God convicts our hearts. We know we've done wrong, and you know we repent of it. But these apostates don't. They don't feel the conviction of God upon their lives. They don't feel guilty about what they do because they don't have the Spirit of God in them. They're not saved. And their love for the flesh is manifested in what they do. I mean, just look at the last part of verse 18 here and into 19. Look at how they're walking. They walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause division, not having the Spirit. And the idea with sensual in this context has nothing to do with sexual attractiveness. It describes the person who lives only by and for what he can get through his physical senses. It's selfish. His motto is, if it feels good, do it. Or how can it be wrong if it feels right? It sounds like the motto of our society today. And again, what do they cause when they bring this stuff into the church? They cause division. Why? Because these things are contrary to the scriptures, and they like to draw people to themselves. So they get their little following. They gather their little groups together at the church, you know, back of the church, in the back room or whatever, and they start telling or teaching their stuff to these people. And it brings division. They know to divide and conquer. Several years ago, you guys, some of you remember this with the whole Hebrew roots movement that moved through the church. You know, the few people in the church were causing this division. You know, they'd walk by the sound room, and one of the guys would be in there, and he would say something like, you know, Pastor Joe doesn't teach from the whole Old Testament. And just lay that out there for people as they were walking by. There were other people that were in the church that would go heresy when I said something that didn't agree with their Hebrew roots movement. And they didn't say it loud enough for me to hear. Of course, they don't, because they know I would have dealt with it immediately. I wouldn't wait till service was over. And they were causing division within the church. And the way this all worked out, I was heading for Haiti to teach a bunch of pastors out there. These pastors, there's no schools, or there's nothing for them to learn how to teach the Bible and all that. And so I was going out there to help them. And I needed to deal with this first. And we had this big church meeting. And, you know, I knew it had to be dealt with before I left. And it was interesting, as I shared what we believe here at Calvary Chapel, that we're saved by grace alone. The law doesn't save us. The law never saved anyone. There's not one person that was saved by the law. No one. And I had to remove these people. I gave them some grace, but they continued on with their teaching. And time was up, and they had to leave. And people were mad. Some of them left with them. You know what? False teaching, heresy, is like cancer. And if it's not dealt with, it will spread. And I'm not saying that these guys didn't know the scriptures. They knew the scriptures very well. They just didn't believe what the scriptures were saying. One person said Paul was wrong in what he said about the law, that we're not saved by it. And he realized when everyone groaned in the church when he said that, he said, well, we don't understand what Paul said. Of course we understand what Paul said. No one is justified by the law. You don't have to know Greek to understand that, right? I mean, we are in Leviticus on Thursday evenings, right? And praise God for all you people that come on Thursdays through Leviticus. But think about all the things they had to do to atone for their sins. I say, praise God for Jesus, man. He did all the work for me. It's a free gift for me. Paul, in his day, and I don't think people think there's a problem today, but in his day, when the church was getting started, said in Acts 20, to the Ephesian all elders, I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. There's the problem. 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Wow. What are we to do? Well, we're to continue walking in the Lord. Focus on Him. Let the Word of God be our light to expose the darkness. And you don't ignore it. You don't brush aside the apostates. You expose them and you remove them. That's just the way it is. If they don't want to change, you know, Romans, Paul says, avoids them. And in 2 Timothy, he says, turn from such people. Turn away from them. One writer put it like this. Mad dogs are shot, infectious diseases are quarantined, but evil teachers who would divide to their destruction and draw away the saints with teaching contrary to the doctrine of Christ and his apostles are everywhere tolerated. Wow. Yeah. How sad. My pastor summed it up like this in regard to what Paul's saying. He said, instead of preaching the truth, these men spread their own religious propaganda using deceit and clever speeches. We have the same problem today, and Christians must be aware of false teachers. They come to your front door with magazines, books, and tapes, trying to convince you that they're teaching the truth. Paul gives two instructions. Mark them, identify them, and avoid them. It's a matter of obedience to the Lord and testimony to others. The issue is not making or keeping friends, but pleasing the Lord and maintaining a consistent testimony. Romans 16:20 suggests that these false teachers really come from Satan, and one day he shall be completely defeated. Yeah, you know, look at their fruit. Look at what they're teaching. Listen to what they're teaching, and then compare it to what the scriptures are saying. You know, years ago, when I was back at Calvary Chapel of Elk Grove in Illinois, we had these two guys that came into the church. They were new, and found out that they believed that the only letters we're to read from this New Testament are the letters of Paul, because everything else was to the Jews and nothing else was for us. And so, like I said, they form these little groups and they get people around them and they're teaching them. And my pastor found out about it and he said, hey, you know, you guys are more than welcome to stay here, but you can't teach that doctrine. Well, they were kind of upset about it. Who gives you the right to tell us what we can teach and what we can't teach? And my pastor, being very wise, said, God, and you need to leave the church now. And he kicked them out. And they went to the next church to bring their teaching. We have to be careful. We have to look at the fruit, because there's especially with mass media today, the social media, things spread so quickly. And as good as they may sound, like Neil Donald Walsh with his letter or Conversations with God, some of it sounds really good. But when you dig into it and you see what he's promoting, he's not promoting Jesus. He's not promoting Christianity. He's denying the Word of God.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's Word. Fellowship with believers. Breaking bread. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's Word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.